This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This show may contain strong language or adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to adjust the frequency. We are controlling transmission. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limit frequency.
Good evening, my name is Ricardo.
My name is Sam.
And this is the Outer Limit Frequency. Last week, we tempted fate by asking the machine that goes Bing if it could help us define and identify the blues. Results were mixed. But rather than give up, we instead decide to double down by seeing if it can assist us pinning down a genre that's even more elusive, jazz. It's true that since its inception, jazz has sent its groovy tendrils out into basically every other style of music, standing as one of the few modes today that predates popular music. But how easy is it to spot elements of jazz out in the wild? I don't know. But we'll either find out or die trying, if we have the time. Sam? Machine? Let's do this.
Just to make sure the machine knows what it's doing, we have to start with something easy. And I say easy because it'd be pretty hard to look at either Ella Fitzgerald or Louis Armstrong and call either of them not jazz. To many, these two are pretty much the definition of jazz, with Armstrong's trumpet and Fitzgerald's voice being very closely associated with the sound of jazz from as early as the 1920s. So you get the two of them together for a song like Summertime, and it should be just bursting at the seams with jazzy goodness. But also, listen to the song. It's kind of big band, just not so big. It makes the whole idea of defining this genre very difficult, if we are being honest, so I really couldn't say for sure that this is jazz. Machine? 5 decades of brilliance each, I guess out of 5.
So hush, little baby. gonna rise, I'm singing. Yes, you spread your wings and you take to the sky. But till that morning, there's nothing can harm you. Yes, with death by me, standing by.
Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich and your ma is good-looking.
To me, Jagger jazzists are the ideal of what a modern jazz ensemble should be, upholding the ideology of the genre's past, while also not being afraid to sound modern. The Norwegian Collective broke through, you know, as much as Norwegian jazz collectives can break through, in 2002 with their A Living Room Hush record, which was nominated by the BBC as the best jazz album of that year, which isn't too shabby. And they've basically been going from strength to strength ever since. Now, like all good artists, Jagger jazzists have drawn from a wide array of influences to build their own unique sound. This has allowed them to dip into krautrock, prog, electronica, math rock, or anything else that takes their fancy, really. In many ways, they were the precursor to the more genre-blind approach of many contemporary jazz players like the Bad Plus or Bad Bad Not Good. Okay, so maybe an eccentric Norwegian jazz septet is a bit of a hard sell for most people, but so is the concept of jazz itself, and I don't see any reason why that should get in the way of our enjoying of it. 5. Times I Was Hushed in the Living Room out of 5. From One Armed Bandit, this is Touch of Evil. On last week's show, I spoke about rapper-singer Moor Mother, the self-proclaimed poet laureate of the apocalypse, as pertaining to her unique take on blues. And I did this full in the knowledge that I'd be using the exact same lens to view her particular take on jazz. It is one of the many historically African-American music modes that's fallen to Moor Mother's vast melting pot. Like a lot of modern jazz descendants, Moor Mother's version is very much a postmodern patchwork, favoring vibes over prescriptive modes in a state of extreme self-awareness. She explores this tension and these dichotomies in her 2022 album, Jazz Codes. I almost hate to say it, but if Moor Mother and Jazz Codes are the direct result of the awkwardness of early jazz rap experiments, then maybe those experiments were actually worth it after all. We all owe Doobop by Miles Davis an apology, but only a very small one. And the machine has given us 3 Enigma devices out of 5. This is Evening.
Meditating with the pad and the pen. Cecil with the do-rag, ESIG and a grin. I hear him clapping, guess I'm back on again. Encore, yeah, I'm slapping, educating your kin. Miles Davis, no smile, there you say it again. Huh? What you say?
I just wanna live another day.
I wanna escape like Betty Davis, as if nothing fazes. Just enough to get by, but oh my, the price too high. Let's go.
On evening, I'm saving. It's too much for me to say. I'm leaving, heartbroken,
disappear
now
bleeding,
and no one's ever looking my way. But I just wanna live another day, so I can create,
well, I
another
create,
day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like Billy singing Strange Fruit and a Doubt. What the fuck you mean? He said, who sent you kangaroo like ice cream, chocolate deluxe? Everyone got touched. And our own lane they copy, but they fucking it up. Freak jazz lifestyle, yeah, I'm off the cuff. Betty Carter Scott and out of the muss, aka, yeah, the fourth dimension. We cool like that, or did we body the competition? Stop your bitching, no for drumming through the glitch. This will save us later, quantum futurist behavior. We cool like that, or did I rebound through the mainstream? Albert Island, you don't know what the cold spring. Birds set loose in our dreams. This is classical arc. Black mass, new arc screams. Rashawn playing everything at once, cause we be hearing things. Spirits in the dark, let Nina sing it, because it don't mean a thing. If it ain't got the blues.
If it ain't got the blues.
Nat King Cole is another name that for many is at the top of the list when it comes to talking about jazz. But, and this is where things get very difficult, from what I can see, his only real jazz work is when he's really piano-focused. But his music is never really different from how it is at other times, and if those songs are jazz, then surely the rest are. His daughter Natalie Cole faced a similar sort of problem where she was either referred to as jazz or soul, depending on the song. Nat, though, going through and listening to a whole bunch of his music lately, it is really difficult to label him as any particular genre. It makes me think that jazz is just what we labeled acts that we didn't know what to do with back then, just as much as we do with alternative now. I don't know, my head hurts. 2.5 Dancing Supermutants out of 5. So, no, it's not just a label, I guess. This is Straighten Up and Fly Right.
Buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right.
cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. The buzzer told the monkey you were choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free. The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said, your story's so touching, but it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
Through the 60s and well into the 70s, jazz had this reputation for being a bit square and straight-laced, which is hilarious given its wild and tumultuous history. But in the 80s, there came a movement of avant-garde maniacs who changed that perception. All of a sudden, jazz had teeth and sharp edges again, and grime. So much grime. And right at the front of that movement sat John Zorn. His extreme reimaginings of Ornette Coleman, Ennio Morricone, and Henry Mancini gained him a serious cult following, which exploded with the release of Naked City in 1990. It's a harsh, hectic, chaotically humorous record that acted as a proof of concept for the sort of rock band that Zorn might be interested in pursuing, which of course led to four more albums under the Naked City banner. Considering this was the music that inspired Mr. Bungle, it should go without saying that it's a weird, wonderful experience for those who can grit their teeth and stomach it. But underneath all that fury and noise, Zorn hasn't neglected jazz orthodoxy, which is why The Machine will give him 4 counts of indecent exposure out of 5. This is Lonely Woman, originally by Ornette Coleman. Despite being the stepdaughter of jazz saxophonist Don Cherry, singer Nana Cherry was never properly affiliated with the genre. Through the years, her music has usually lurked in that deliciously undefined middle ground between post-punk and hip-hop, with only the most determined of pundits looking for that jazz connection. Her 1989 debut, Raw Like Sushi, was era-defining and envelope-pushing at the same time, but once again, not jazz. It's almost like she was avoiding it. But Miss Cherry did give us one huge nod towards the music that made her surname famous with her 2012 album, The Cherry Thing. The thing in question was her latest backing band, albeit short-lived, a trio of battle-hardened Scandinavian free jazz warriors. And very rarely do you hear jazz that's this sinister and volatile while still being somehow beautiful. And that volatility is only amplified by their choice of cover songs, with only two of the album's eight tracks being originals. A name like Ornette Coleman or Don Cherry won't surprise here. But did you expect this monstrosity to also cover songs by Suicide, The Stooges, and MF Doom? Yeah, I thought not. So she can do jazz, but generally chooses not to, which might just make her a better person than any of us. 3.5 cases of raw fish poisoning out of 5. From The Cherry Thing, this is her barn-burning cover of Too Tough to Die, originally by Martina Topley Bird.
We'll be right back.
With jazz bearing similarities to both big band and swing, you would think a band called Diablo Swing Orchestra would fit right in. There's a bit of a hurdle when it comes to this band, and that's the whole metal carny thing. We've shown over and over on this show how a genre can be so easily blended with metal or punk and still remains that genre at its core. Diablo Swing Orchestra, however, well, they show a lot of signs of jazz, but they come off as more swing, I guess, hence the name. Even songs that play into that aspect more, like Voodoo Mon Amour, still come across more swing than jazz. But again, what the hell is the difference? I genuinely want to know. So, Machine, one well-organized lynch mob out of five.
when looking at the long-reaching influence that jazz has had on modern music, in a lot of ways it's almost as if the producers have been inspired as much as the musicians themselves. I'm talking about names like Sean Lee, the Dust Brothers, and especially Madlib. Madlib is a producer that's known for going out on a limb and trying things out. The sort who has released dozens of albums of his own instrumentals rather than, you know, wait for a band to show up to help him out. For example, did you know that under the Yesterday's Universe umbrella, Madlib has created 10 entire jazz records almost exclusively by himself? Let nobody say that he's a slouch. In 2003, Mr. Lib was given the most unique opportunity. Legendary jazz label Blue Note gave him unrestricted access to their vaults for a remix project. The end result was the Shades of Blue album, where every single track has been built out of pieces of original Blue Note recordings. If I'm being honest, though, this project I think turns out to be a bit more fun in theory than in practice, but the fact that it exists at all is a testament to the respect that Madlib holds within the industry. So, Machine? 2.5 crazed hunchback antagonists out of 5. This is Slim's Return.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Garage Artois. It's a funny name for a band, and is also the perfect name for the group of exceptionally gifted jazz players that use it. Between them, Charlie Hunter, Stanton Moore, Mike Dillon, and Skerrick have appeared on hundreds of albums that stretch the entire breadth of the music spectrum. But together as Garage Artois, they make music mostly to entertain themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as much as I like Garage Artois, which is quite a bit actually, they often fall into the trap that a lot of new jazz groups do fall into. I haven't managed to shake the feeling that they might be favouring the aesthetics of the genre over the fundamentals, which is fine and all unless you are putting things under a microscope to examine their jazz content, for example. Whether enjoyable or not, Garage Artois are now a goodly number of steps removed from our earlier benchmarks. Surely that factor will play into the machine's decision. 2 of a perfect trio. Out of 5, it pays not to overthink it. Speaking of things you shouldn't overthink, this is Plena for my Grundle.
Okay, let's try this again. I'll accept that Diablo Swing Orchestra is not jazz, even jazz by way of metal, so I present to you Shining. While in recent years their music has lightened, they started off as a straight-up free jazz band, and then over 4 albums they were known for what was referred to as black jazz for its fusion of black metal and jazz. This all culminated in the album International Black Jazz Society, but it was before that, on the album Black Jazz, where we had the best examples of what a so-called black jazz song would sound like, and there were a few of them, but for me the one that is most likely going to cause the machine to go into retirement is when they mixed up not just 2 genres but 4. So machine, machine. There it is. 4.5 saxophones saxophoning darkly. That's not your best work. This is Black Jazz Death Trance. And that does it for our look at what is jazz. And if you like what you heard, jump onto your streaming service of choice and check out some of our old episodes brought to you by the people at Access Media.
And since you're coming back next week, we are going to begin a very special run of episodes that will lead us through right into the very beginning of next year. And we start this with our look at the best covers of 2022. We will see you then.
See you then.
Thanks for listening to this Free FM podcast. If you want to hear more content like this, you can support Free FM via Patreon. Head to patreon.com/freefm89 to find out more.